from KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth Denton. It's anything you ever wanted to know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address for all your questions and answers, novel, quirky, or otherwise, is anything at kera.org. Starting us off this week from the stack, Harvest asks, over time, do fire ant mounds cause the quality of the soil to deteriorate? Harvest says, in spots where I've had fire ants, it seems that nothing will grow. If the fire ants are the culprit, how can I restore the soil in that area so that plants will grow? Call us, 800-933-5372. David in Plano writes, my three cats who previously have had no problems with my carpets have suddenly started to avoid the carpet or even walking on it. When there is no choice, they will run quickly across the carpet, making the minimum contact possible. Someone said that they were suddenly infested with fleas. Although they are indoor cats, I've put flea treatment on the carpet and on the cats, but it's made no difference. They still avoid any contact with the carpet, walking on the mantel, shelves, even the TV to avoid it. Recently, the house was treated by an exterminator, David says, and although they put insecticide around the edges of the rooms, they said it was safe for pets. Could this be a cause of it? Does anyone know? Call us, 800-933-5372. Let's see. Joey in Dallas writes, at Lake Ray Roberts, there's a wooden post about 200 yards from shore, close to the marina, that has a spherical object mounted on top. It's about the size of a basketball, and it's made out of metal. What is it, and what purpose does it serve? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Emily in Richardson writes, When I am emotionally moved, rather, I often get chills, goosebumps, hair standing on end, etc. What is the neuroscience behind the chills? What anatomically is happening? What is the purpose of the chills? For example, is it like when you have adrenaline coursing through your veins when you're afraid or scared to aid you physically to fight or flee? Does anyone know? Well, that's why we do the show, 800-933-5372. And email anything at kera.org. Joe in Dallas wrote us as well and asks, why do almost all legal advertisements refer to attorney at law? Can you be an attorney at anything else? Doctor of medicine, he says, makes sense. Anyone who has a doctorate can be referred to as a doctor, but I've never heard of anyone being referred to as an attorney at anything other than law. 800-933-5372. Up first today is Emily in Frisco. Hello, Emily.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead.
I had an answer to the attorney at law question.
Okay.
An attorney at law just shows that the person has received the proper training, education, and certification to be an attorney, as opposed to a power of attorney, which anyone can have.
Okay.
Like if you're sick and in the hospital, you can sign your power of attorney over to your spouse or parents.
You know, and I also looked it up while we were in the news in Brian Garner's A Dictionary of Modern Legal Usage. He's also the editor of Black's Law Dictionary, so he knows a thing, and an attorney, I believe. And it says to see under law, and there are several idioms here, under law, in law, at law, and by law. And he says these idioms have long been common in Anglo-American legal writing. They are not interchangeable. In law means in the eyes of the law. Let's see, under law ordinarily means in accordance with the law or in our system of law. He says the phrase by law, in contrast, usually means by statute. By law, all owners of firearms must have a permit. And he says the idiom at law usually signals a contrast with equity, that the law being referred to is the common law. So that's the answer that we get there. So,
interesting. I also had a question. Where would you get anything you ever wanted to know t-shirt?
Well, you could make your very own. We don't have T-shirts. We do have a flying disc that says anything you ever wanted to throw on it, which is a thank you gift when you support the station. You can see it at kera.org. But we'll mention that to the powers that be. You can also call the main number here at the station and ask
them.
Thank
you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks. 800-933-5372. Up next is Austin in Dallas. Hello, Austin.
Yeah, hi. I got a question.
Okay.
If your vehicle is damaged by a tow truck while being towed, is there any way to get, or what is the process for getting financially recompensed for it? Because the Richland Towing Company caused some significant damage to my car, and they hung up on me when I asked about it.
Okay, so was it? Did you have them tow it, or was it towed away from somewhere?
Yeah, I had it towed, and they didn't put it in neutral, and they're rolling it off the truck.
Right.
And it caused there's something messed up right now.
I think you know what. I think you might want to start with your insurance company. I mean, that's just my, you know, or an attorney, because they're going to be able to help you, you know, take care of it the right way.
Oh, I was just sure there was something like you know, maybe like a better business kind of
sure.
thing. Like,
well, we'll ask.
Seems like something that would happen a lot, you know.
We'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Austin. Right, line open, 800-933-5372. Email, of course, it's always open. And a lot of emails because we were off last week for the holiday. So thanks for coming back today. We're really excited to be back today on the show. Let's see. Kay in West Texas writes, my grandparents, both deceased, owned a dry goods store in West Texas in a 100-year-old building for 50 years. Kay says, as a child, I remember a product they sprinkled on the floors before they swept. It prevented dust from moving through the air and settling on cloth and shelves. The product was reddish-brown in color and looked very much like large pencil shavings. Does anyone know what this product is and if it's available for households? She adds, we have a Jack Russell that sheds all summer long, and I think this product would be very helpful when sweeping. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Harold in Dallas. Hello, Harold.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Well, I have an answer about the cats. And I'm afraid he doesn't want to hear it. It is fleas. It has to be fleas. And they may not be on the cats yet, but if he brought in one flea from outside, they're in his carpet.
Okay, so the cats know the fleas are in there, and they just don't want to go near it.
They feel them.
Okay.
And so he needs to bomb his house.
Okay, or at least treat the carpet really, really well.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Harold.
Okay.
800-933-5372. Let's talk to Kelly in Allen. Kelly, is that the same answer that you have?
No, mine is a little different.
Okay.
I think it's a static electricity issue he's having. Depending on how long his carpet is, and especially this time of year, I get it myself. I'm constantly shocking myself at my daughter. Cats, especially with all that fur, I think walking on the carpet, they're just tired of getting shocked. And if it was fleas, I don't think it would be all the cats acting the same way at the same time.
Okay.
I've got a lot of animals, and I got 4 cats and 3 dogs, and I honestly think it's a static electricity.
So do your cats do this? Do your cats do this some?
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they're doing it as dramatic as his, but I got a humidifier, and I stopped it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And Russell in Plano wrote us and asks, where can I find a website for world countries comparing school systems, government processes, medical coverages, etc.? You know, one great resource is the CIA World Factbook online. If you just Google CIA World Factbook, it's got demographic, infant mortality rates, it's got all kinds of information about education, the percentages of gender and age of every country, and it's not classified. It's right there. You just pick a country, and there's so much information. But maybe there's something else, and that's why we do the show. So if you have an answer to that, call us 800-933-5372. Up next is Tony in McKinney. Hello, Tony.
Hey there, Jeff. Got a solution for the fire ant problem.
Okay.
This will kill the fire ants and improve the soil at the same time, and it's organic. If you buy some liquid molasses, which you could get at any of the organic garden centers,
okay,
and some D-limonene, or commonly known as orange oil, and you could go to dirtdoctor.com, which is Howard Garrett's website. It's here locally here in Dallas, and get the recipe for the quantities you would mix together. And just pour that very slowly on the ant mound. It will kill the fire ants, and the molasses will generate some biological activity within the surrounding soil and improve the soil that is there.
Very good. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Brian in Burleson. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, I have an answer about the channel marker that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah, okay. And at the lake, Lake Ray Roberts, I believe.
Yes. Now, it's been many years since I've been to that lake, and I can't speak specifically about that particular marker, but I can tell you generically that Those markers are called aids to navigation, and based on the location and where you said it was near a marina, it's probably marking the entrance channel to the marina. All of those buoys are marked and numbered, and they appear on charts, whether you're dealing with the ocean or inland lakes, and they're used for navigation. Typically, they will have an enlarged metallic object attached to them in various fashions, but what those enlarged metallic objects are designed for to return radar signals from radar equipment on boats so that you can find the channel markers if the visibility is very low, such as in fog or heavy rain. So most likely that round metallic object is designed to return a radar signal.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Anything you ever wanted to know, you can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org. Tom in Crowley writes, fleas and carpet, easy way to find out what critters you've got without insecticides. He says, take a shallow dish or pan, fill with water and a bit of detergent. Put the pan on the floor and shine a light into the water, like a high-intensity lamp. He says, leave this overnight. In the morning, you'll see what's there. He says, the key is the detergent breaks the surface tension so that they can't swim, I guess, when they get into the water. Let's see. Julie in Arlington says, in 1975-76, there was a club in the Dallas-Oaklawn area where we saw such performers as Tom Waits, Leon Redbone, Ry Cooter with Flaco Jimenez, Austin's Balcones Fault, and others. Does anyone remember the name of that club? John in D.C. says, hello, Jeff, Brandolin, Jeannie, Fiona, and whomever else is throwing the switches. He says, I need to know how to paint my bicycle. He says, I recently painted my house. I'm feeling especially ambitious. In fact, he writes, I decided to paint my workroom roughly the same color as my well-loved 1979 Schwinn Traveler, something close to teal blue, he says. He says, how do you paint a bike? What are the steps involved? He says, I imagine painting a bike is something like trying to paint an automobile. What equipment do I need? Do I need a special kind of paint? And where would I buy paint for a bicycle? John, the last time I painted a bike, I think I was in fourth grade, and my dad and I took my bike completely apart, and we hung it from like wires from the garage ceiling and spray painted it flat black. If you want a shiny coat, like a good quality coat of paint on your bike, I would take it to a professional. Find someone who does powder coat painting, or maybe someone who repaints motorcycles or cars, and just have them do it, because unless you want sort of flat black, and John even writes, everyone, I've seen bikes on the street by people that have tried to paint them themselves, he says, and they look terrible. But he does ask, has anyone repainted an old bicycle successfully? And if there's any advice they can share, and that's why we do the show, 800-933-5372. Up next is Russ in Fort Worth. Hello, Russ.
Hey, we've got a question. And I also wanted to say thanks after all these years for keeping the show going.
Sure.
We've been listening to it for a long time.
You bet.
But we were at the grocery store the other day, my son and I, and you know how they have the misters that spray in the produce section?
Yeah.
And they have like thunder and lightning sounds that go off when that happens. And my son said, why do they do that? And I realized that I really don't know. So I thought maybe that would be a good thing to put out there.
It's probably something that some brilliant marketer came up with to make you feel a little closer to nature.
Close to nature, yeah,
but
exactly.
I've heard it myself, and it is interesting.
Is there any real, you know, advantage as far as like for the produce, you know?
Can the broccoli hear the low frequency rumblings of the thunder? Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you, Russ.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much.
Thanks.
It is anything you ever wanted to know right here on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. You can call us at 800-933-5372. If you can't get through, keep trying, or send us an email with your question or answer. That address is anything at kera.org. We'll be right back. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us this hour at anything at kera.org. And because we were off last week, we have a large, very deep stack of answers here. And let's see, Ann writes and says, according to, this is in regards to the question about what happened to Paul Harvey and why Ron Chapman's been filling in. And Ann writes, according to Alan Papard's June 30th column in the Dallas Morning News, Ron Chapman has been sitting in for Paul Harvey since March. Harvey was taking care of his wife, who was battling leukemia, and she passed away last month. And according to this, Ron will continue to sit in for him until he is ready to return. In answer to the question about which wines go well with Mediterranean food, Norm and Granberry recommends any of the dry European rosés. Sounds pretty good to me. In answer to the question about why heavy equipment's painted yellow, we had the answer that it was the cheapest, and Dick in Fort Worth begs to differ. He says, we have an industrial painting operation here, and I can assure you, he writes, that yellow is not the cheapest color of industrial paint. He says black is. Since lead was removed from the paints, the most expensive colors now are yellow and red. He says a more likely explanation for yellow paint on construction equipment is that it's more visible and thus safer. Many elements of industrial equipment are required to be painted safety yellow. And in answer to the question about why the flies keep congregating at one specific window in one of our listeners' houses, by the way, this was 2 weeks ago, so hopefully it's been taken care of. Let's see. W writes, most flies, including the ordinary housefly, lay eggs exclusively only in dead flesh, where the maggots will feed and grow, resulting eventually in adult flies. Therefore, W says, I would bet that the questioner has an animal of some kind, a mouse, a rat, a squirrel, etc., which has died under the house or in the wall near the window. And I assume once the current generation or nursery time passes, there'll be no more than the usual number of flies. It's anything you ever wanted to know. And joining me right now in the studio is our assistant producer, Brandilyn Barnett. Hello, Brandilyn.
Hey, Jeff.
And we had a question a couple of months ago about, is it possible to prepay for gasoline? And Dave wrote in and said everyone agreed that there was not a way to do it outside of investing in futures or if you had enough land and a permit to store it. He says, but I just saw an article about a service that lets you do just that, and you looked into it a little bit further.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting idea because if it's true, I mean, you could have theoretically bought 100 gallons of gas at $3 a year ago or a couple of years ago, and you could be buying $3 a gallon of gas now. And I hadn't heard of any service, but Dave wrote in, or we got some info about mygallons.com. And what the site allows you to do is you pay an annual fee of $30 or $40 a year. And what the site allows you to do is buy gas at current prices and then go to your gas station. You can buy 100 gallons, go to your gas station a year from now. If the price of gas goes up, that's a big if. Nobody knows for sure. But if it does go up, you can buy gas at $4 a gallon. If it's $5 or $6 a gallon a year from now, who knows where it's going to go. But it's an interesting idea, an interesting service.
What do they say anything about what if it's $1.50 a gallon a year from now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk.
You've paid.
There's the risk. I mean, you could be losing a lot of money. And, of course, you know, you have to think about some economists have mentioned in regard to this mygallons.com and other services that are popping up, the idea that if you buy the gas with a credit card that you don't pay off monthly, the interest on your credit card will be, I mean, it'll be a moot point.
It ends up costing
you
more.
So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of options out there, but it's interesting to know that there is a service out there. And
cool. Well, let's link to it.
We have a link to mygallons.com.
Very good. Read my mind.
Check it out, people.
Thanks, Brandilyn.
Thanks.
Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. And up next is a very patient David in Dallas. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing well.
I got an answer for the fleas. On the carpet thing. The cats won't go on the carpet because they can see them and they can tell they're there and they're trying to avoid them. Let's put it this way, vets and other people say don't bomb. He needs to go to a vet and find out what kind of spray is best to use, simply because a flea has like four stages of life.
Right.
And there's one stage to where you can use any kind of insecticide or anything else like that, and it won't do anything to the flea egg or that stage that it's in. I can't remember exactly which one it is.
Okay.
He needs to go to a vet and find out what would be the best thing to use.
Very good. Thanks, David. 800-933-5372. Up next is Philip in Arlington. Hello, Philip.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well.
Okay, what this is I have heard people a number of times ask whether they're going to have an outside antenna when the TV goes digital.
Yes.
I have never heard a definitive answer, so here is one.
Okay.
Let me try to be pretty concise, because my wife says every time somebody asks me what time it is, I tell them how to build a watch.
All right.
The problem that you have with digital receivers is related to a problem called multi-path interference.
Right.
What this means is that you get a signal from two different places. For example, if you live in Arlington or Fort Worth, you get a signal from the antennas in Cedar Hill, and you get another bounce off Dallas. This confuses the receiver, and it basically can't find its reference. And what it does is it either gives you a black screen and says no signal, or your picture flickers in and out, or you get artifacts constantly and sometimes freezes. There is only one solution for the problem, and that is to have a directional outside antenna which can be aimed at the proper direction for the signal. The typical directional antenna is called a Yagi, and it's a beam with a bunch of V-shaped elements on it.
Is it Y-A-G-I?
Y-A-G-I, okay. I believe. And you aim the open side of the V toward the station, or toward the best direction that gives you a signal that doesn't have interference. If the same interference in an analog signal would give you reflections or ghosts,
okay,
which are annoying, but you can still see the picture. But with the digital receiver, it just disables it.
So you will need an outdoor antenna.
You will not only need an outdoor antenna if you, say, live in Arlington or Fort Worth and other places I may not know of. You will need a rotator, which is about the antenna is probably going to cost you $100 or at least $50, and the rotator is going to cost you about $75. The rotator allows you to have a little device on top of your that you set convenient to you,
right,
where it allows you to aim your antenna in whatever direction you choose. The problem is that one direction will not necessarily get all the stations well, and you may have to, say, to get one station to aim it one way and the other to aim it slightly off axis. And I got my TV in 2001, and I'm an electrical engineer with a background in television. Right. It took me 6 months to get it to work.
Now, this is just for folks who don't have cable, I guess.
Yeah, if you have cable or satellite, your job is done for you.
Right, okay.
If you're getting TV off the air and you live in certain locations, in fact, probably if you don't live pretty close to Cedar Hill, say in Grand Prairie, you will have to have an outdoor antenna, and more than likely you will have to have a rotator as well.
Well, I guess at my house we won't be watching much TV. But
well,
Philip,
that's what it takes.
Well, Philip, I really appreciate the answer.
That is the answer.
It's great information.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right. Bye bye.
Up next, let's talk to Dennis in Dallas. Hello, Dennis.
A couple of answers. One, the lady that called about the stuff that you put on the floor to pick up the dust when you sweep.
Yeah.
It was called floor sweep. It was almost a sawdust consistency. It was red, and you used to be able to buy it at a industrial hardware or janitorial supply place.
Okay, and we got it. We also 5 gallon bucket. We also got an email from someone else who said it was called floor sweep, and you should be able to get it at any janitorial supply company.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Great.
Second thing, I think the club name the lady was talking about in Oak Lawn was called the Rubiot.
Very
that's
good.
Like a coffee house. So
very good.
I'm not sure about that, but I know there was the Rubiot. I was there back in the late 60s. So.
Well, Harvey and Keller agrees with you via the web. So
there
sounds
go.
Good there, too.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Also, in response to the question about the thunder sounds, the rain sounds in the grocery stores, Chris in Azle says, I believe that people were complaining to grocers about getting wet when those wonderful auto sprinklers came along. Some sort of alarm device was needed to alert people that water was getting ready to spray, but a universal sound was needed. And Chris adds, what's more common that means water is about to fall than thunder? Paul, writing from somewhere, says it's a warning. The noise always always goes off a few seconds before the water to warn shoppers so that they don't get all wet. Let's talk next to Mike in Fort Worth. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. I have an answer in regards to the why we get chills.
Okay.
We have a whole bunch of receptors on our skin, our periphery, that respond to a myriad of things. And the receptors in question are called piloerection receptors that when animals, then they have so much fur that it perks up their fur and makes them get warm. But humans don't have enough fur on them until when we get chills in response to some extraneous sensory perception, we get goosebumps and chills instead of fluffing up our fur, our hair.
So it's a throwback to sort of protect you, to make you warmer, or to get your body temperature up a little bit so
exactly.
that you're ready to respond.
Exactly. And since we don't have enough, since we only have hair, we don't really have, you know, fur, thick enough fur to make a difference. You get goosebumps instead of warm, puffed up fur.
So do the animals, like when your dog, you know, encounters another dog or gets excited and the hair on his back stands up, or the cat, are they having goosebumps on their skin, or is it just the hair?
That's actually a little different mechanism when they that's in response to something else. The same thing happens. Those same receptors perk up their hair, but
right.
it's in response to something else. This is in response to, say, you know, a cool breeze across your skin or
right.
something like that.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
No problem. Have a good day.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Josh in Dallas wants to know, when grabbing some kind of quick snack or liquid from the fridge, is it more energy efficient to open the fridge, take out the liquid, leave the fridge open while pouring, return the milk to the fridge, and then close it? Or would it be better to take the milk out, close the fridge, and then open and return the liquid when done pouring? Seems, he says, like opening and closing more often forces cold air out of the fridge. Call us. Tell us what you think. Vernon wrote from Plano to answer the question about the holes in the lakes in Las Colinas. He says, if I hear the question right, the caller is talking about morning glories. These are circular weirs that control the lake level and serve in flood control. He says another example is one on Highland Park, on Turtle Creek. In regards to the question about the female singer with the video that was CDs, you know, flipping by in, you know, in a jukebox in Austin, an Austin artist, Matt, who was on his way to Austin last week when he sent us this, says, I think she was talking about Liz Phair. She's not from Austin, but she's an indie singer with the song Why Can't I Breathe, and she used to play a lot in Austin. And James says, I'm not familiar with any videos, but probably the most popular female Austin singer in the 90s was Kelly Willis. James says, I don't recall any others rising to national fame at that time, but there could have been others. 800-933-5372. Up next is Evan in Fort Worth. Hello, Evan.
Good afternoon. Hey, answer on painting bicycles.
Yeah.
You need not necessarily go to a pro.
Okay.
It can be done yourself, and if the guy's really feeling ambitious, the thing to do is go to an auto parts place and not only pick something there, but query those guys on what they would say for application. You don't necessarily need to spray every paint that is normally sprayed.
Okay. There's
adjuncts that can be given to it that'll let it flow better if you want a brush rather than spray. But the other thing is you could also use you know, a flat pastel if you want, and then just put a proper clear coat on it.
Okay.
It makes it shiny and seals that off. And as long as the bike surface you're putting it on and the paint and the clear coat are all compatible, you'll get a nice shiny surface on a relatively dull matte color and get a cool result.
So it's not necessary to go to that custom motorcycle paint place and say, would you paint my cruiser?
No, it's it's actually fun. I build guitars, and so I spray all the time, but I don't like to spray. So most of those coatings that are sprayed on guitars now, I brush because it, you know, to me, it puts less in the air, less in my lungs, is easier, uses less product, and I get a result that you can't tell the difference from. But there again, it's mostly in that last layer that's nice and shiny and buffed up and looks great that all of that comes out.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Evan.
You bet.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. That's where we got this from Colin, who says, what forms of used paper are considered recyclable? He says, I figure that toilet paper and used tissues are non-recyclable. You figured right there, Colin, probably. But what about, he says, say a paper towel used to mop up pure water? If the recyclability of paper varies, then what is the rule for the plant used by Fort Worth's recycling program? I would say, you know, office paper, newspaper, things like that. But they probably, on the Fort Worth or Tarrant County website, they probably have a list of the kinds of paper. But I don't think paper towels or any kind of tissue paper are recyclable. I think because they've already been broken down so much. That's my opinion, and you know, based on what I've seen out there. But someone will have a better answer at 800-933-5372, and that's where we find Topher in Mesquite. Hello, Topher.
Hi, good afternoon.
Same to you.
I have an answer for the gentleman who asked about the sprinklers, thunder sounds for the sprinklers in the produce department.
Sure.
Well, I work in a produce department, and the answer is quite just simply, it's an alarm.
Okay.
To so it doesn't spook anyone whenever it starts to spray.
Now, were you...
The produce department that I work in doesn't have any kind of a little bell or thunder sound or anything like that, and it can be kind of startling whenever it suddenly starts spraying in your face.
Oh, so you all don't have the fancy, you know, thunder and lightning sounds?
No, not the sounds. I wish we did.
So I was going to ask you if before this came about, did you get complaints? But I guess you get some complaints that startle some people.
Actually, I've never had anyone complain to me, but okay. It makes me jump about 5 feet whenever it happens to me sometimes.
All right. Well, Topher, thanks very much. I think we got that one definitively answered.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Tom in Dallas. Hello, Tom.
Yes, thank you. I've gotten different answers to this question, so I thought I'd give your answers a shot at it.
Okay.
And that is, if you have a light on a dimmer and you have it dimmed or full brightness, are you using different amounts of electricity? Are you saving electricity if you're dimming the light? That's my question.
You know, I don't even know if I want to try this one. So we'll see if we get an answer from the audience.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Chris in Lakeville, Minnesota says, I've noticed, at least up here in Minnesota, that Coke products and Pepsi products don't go on sale at the same time. In fact, he says, they usually alternate weeks for their specials. For example, this week, Coke's on sale. Next week, it's Pepsi's turn, then Coke, etc. Why is this? He says, I don't want to say this is some form of collusion, but it's an incredible coincidence considering that manufacturers probably plan their sales months in advance. And let's see, Gabriel in Wichita Falls is looking for a movie he saw on TV in the early 70s. It's two boys teaching each other magic, but it was a secret, and it turned out to be all a dream. And he says, I can't remember any much more than this, but if it rings any bells, please let me know. He says, I would love to find the movie. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. We'll be right back after a quick break. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. Email address, anything at KERA.org. And at least two more answers left over from weeks past. Let's see. Alex said, the person who wanted to travel for a year around the United States, Alex wrote in and said, I would suggest he join a website called couchsurfing.com. The website is a worldwide community of people who offer spare bedrooms or couches for people to stay on. He says it's a great way to travel on a budget and experience different areas from a very local perspective. He adds if he's not comfortable staying at people's houses that he doesn't know, the members of the site are extremely friendly and often willing to show people around their cities or at least tell them about things that are worth seeing. Alex adds, I've used the site for a while now and have stayed in Germany, Prague, and Costa Rica and have not had anything but great experiences yet. And to the question we had about the music for Australia, Jason writes and says, I believe the music in the trailer for the film Australia is from the score to the 1989 Kenneth Branagh movie Henry V. The composer is Patrick Doyle. And Susan at Mesquite concurs. It's from Kenneth Branagh's Henry V, the composer Patrick Doyle. 800-933-5372. Up next is JC in Fort Worth. Hello, JC.
Hey, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Same
I want to start off by saying I love your show, and I wish it was an hour longer, buddy.
Oh, thanks very much.
Hey, I got a question about the water towers. How exactly do they function, and what is their purpose? And my other question is, how do you get rid of chiggers in your grass?
Two very great questions. I think we'll see if we get an answer for you.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Up next is Gene in Bedford. Hello, Gene.
Hello. My question is referring to the digital converter boxes that are coming.
Okay.
The government is offering a discount, which means taxpayers are going to be footing part of that bill. Why not commercial television? Why aren't they paying for the converter boxes?
Well, I think it's all part of a big master reallocation of the broadcast frequency spectrum plan. And I think that's generating, I mean, don't quote me, I'm on live radio, but I think that's generating some, you know, it's a big, huge, complex thing. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. I mean, we can ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Well, we get about, 15, 20 minutes worth of commercials for every television program. Wondering why they don't pick up the tab.
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Gene. Let's talk next to Sue in Springtown. Hello, Sue.
Hello. I was going to suggest this guy with the flea problem may already know this, but
the cats that won't go on the rug.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. If his cats will let him, you know, just get them on their back and look between their back legs where the fleas like to congregate. And, you know, that's a good place to look for them. And also, sometimes, you know, you get those little, the black dots.
Yeah, the flea dirt.
Yeah. Now, if you wet it and it turns into blood, then that's flea poop. And, that's a very good indicator that you have fleas.
Very good. Thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Gwen in Dallas. Hello, Gwen.
Hi. I have a picky recycling question.
Okay.
For City of Dallas Recycling.
Okay.
And I'd also like everyone who feels that it's a good idea to advocate to their council people to go to once a week trash pickup and once a week recycling pickup.
Okay.
But my question is, when we take the top off of a can with a can opener, then recycling the can, we've been putting the top sort of into the can to recycle the top, metal of the top as well. But I'm wondering if that's dangerous for the people who sort the recycling and if we should stop doing that and just throw the tops away.
Well, I mean, I think it's, I mean, imagine the amount of broken glass that because they dump it all into one big truck together.
So, I mean, we know the rules are that you don't put any broken glass in there. That's not recyclable.
Right, but what I'm saying is I imagine some of it breaks when it gets dumped into the truck.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, if you've ever stood next to your recycling pickup crew when they pick up your recycling and listened to the sound of your recycling going into that truck, I bet you'll see that some of that glass is breaking. So I would say go ahead and recycle the top of the can. That's just my vote.
That's what we've been doing, but if anyone sort of is you know, knows for sure how the process goes and if that is beneficial or not.
Well, that's why we do the show, Gwen, so we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Ben in Denton says, the dimmer on your wall switch is a resistor, literally resisting the wattage flowing through the circuit. But since the voltage is the same, regardless of how many watts are allowed to pass through the circuit, the energy savings are marginal at best. And at any level in which you can clearly see with a dimmed light, the energy savings are minimal. So I guess the answer there, Ben, is that the voltage stays the same. Well, let's check and see what Chuck in Dallas says. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, yes. Part of my answer was the dimmer switch.
Yeah.
Yes, theoretically it does. Exactly. You increase the resistance on the line that's going through the lights itself. They generate heat. It's a smaller wire. You pass current over to the larger wire that's going through the house, which is probably a 12-gauge or a 14-gauge.
Right.
You have less resistance there, but the other caller, exactly, the savings is minuscule.
Okay, so the voltage stays the same. I mean, that's the key.
It's still approximately 120 volts.
Okay, great.
And the water tower is raised up, and you get a head pressure of the water being elevated. And if you had a pump system, it will generate surges within the line, and you fill up the water tower, and the height of it will make a consistent pressure through the distribution system throughout the lines.
So they pump the water up into the tower, and then it flows freely from the tower into the pipes to the houses, buildings, et cetera.
through gravity, yes.
Great. All right. Thanks very much, Chuck.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Dana in Fort Worth. Hello, Dana.
Yeah, this is Dana.
Yes, go right ahead.
I got another cat question, and I know it probably won't be answered till next week, but got two or three houses on my block that are all affected by what we have determined to be a virus from the stray cat.
Okay.
Doing their business in our yard. Now, short of a BB gun, I mean, I can hardly grow anything in my front garden. And, you know, I've taken it all out and put it back in.
Right.
And it's just driving me nuts. Is there something I can do to cleanse my soil or treat my grass for these animals leaving
right.
their deposits in my yard?
Well, before, you know, everybody's going to call or write in. And I don't know, there are several programs that do this. But what you probably need to do are catch the strays and have them sterilized, and they can, you know, you do it one at a time. It's free. It just takes some time. They give you a have a heart trap, and you take them in. They, you know, spay or neuter the cat, then you re-release it, and you know it can live out its life, which is for an outdoor cat a year or two or three typically.
Right.
But as far as remediating your soil, you know, we'll have to see if we get an answer for you next week.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Anything you ever wanted to know, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Don in Dallas. Hello, Don.
Yeah, this is Don. Listen, I've got
Don?
A question about the – you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. I have a question about DFW Airport. Driving around out there often like I do, I've often wondered how many bridges and overpasses are actually on the airport property. Does anybody have any kind of an answer for that?
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you. If not today, then next week, Don.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, thanks very much.
Bye.
And joining me now in the studio is our operations director, Mr. Eric Bright. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Jeff.
If I had the applause drop, I'd play it right now.
Okay, so this...
We're talking about the resistor.
Yeah,
the
variable
dimmer switch.
Resistor question.
Yeah.
I got to thinking and put pen to paper, or pencil to paper.
Okay.
So... the formulas are E equals I times R, which is voltage equals current times resistance.
Okay.
But also power equals current times voltage, power being the wattage. Well,
right, right.
The dimmer switch is essentially a variable resistor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a resistor that can change values in ohms. So the voltage coming out of our plugs is 115 volts.
Right.
That's not going to change.
Ish. Yeah.
The greater the resistance, the less current.
Right.
Therefore, the lower wattage.
Right.
So
in your light bulb.
Correct.
Yeah.
So when your light is dim, there's more resistance, less wattage used.
Less wattage used by the light bulb,
mm-hmm.
but the resistor is getting hot and heating up in the wall and dissipating that power there, right?
Yeah, but
you
we're
feel
talking
a dimmer,
we're talking about current though and actual use of the light bulb.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to be.
But I guess the key question is: does it save you on electricity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, less wattage used.
Right. And we had a caller who said it's negligible. It is less, but it's not a whole lot less. All
right. Right.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
What an honor. The Eric Bright, folks. Let's talk next to Joe in Coppell. Hello, Joe.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an answer for the lady about the can, the top of the can.
Yeah.
In the can. What I do with my cans is after I put the top inside so that it doesn't pop out again, I sort of pinch the can a little so that the circular opening is now an oval.
Now, Joe, that's a great solution to that problem. Do you take the labels off your cans as well?
If there was a paper label, yes.
Okay.
Well, sometimes, not all the time.
Sure.
Usually I do.
Sure. All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Time for a few more of your calls. Let's talk next to Britt in Fort Worth. Hello, Britt.
Hey, how's it going?
Just fine.
The question earlier about converter boxes and why it seemed that taxpayers were footing the bill for it.
Sure.
The television stations don't want to have to convert over. They're being forced to by the FCC. The FCC wants to take that standard definition signal bandwidth and re-auction it for, you know, to be repurposed for other, you know, newer technologies.
Right.
So the vouchers that folks are getting to get a discount on the converter box will actually be offset and then some by a great amount when that spectrum is auctioned off by the FCC after it's been deallocated from standard definition.
So I was right. I just didn't have all the facts straight.
Yeah, pretty much. The FCC is going to make a ton of money off that auction, and so don't worry about the vouchers.
Okay, very good. Thanks very much, Britt.
Got it.
800-933-5372. Up next is Charles in Garland. Hello, Charles.
Hi. I have an answer for your lady with the can question.
Yeah.
The cans, the steel cans that vegetables and fruits and things like that come in nowadays, are all taken out by a magnet. So they're not dealt with by human hands. There's really no safety problem with them once they're in the recycling center. They're all separated out by using an electromagnet.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
All right. It's anything you ever wanted to know. And I think we probably have time for one more call before we run out of time. Let's talk to Grayson in Fort Worth. Hello, Grayson.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, why is the sky blue?
You know, we've had this question before, and I, of course, as is typical, can't remember the answer. So we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay, so tune in next week, and we'll have an answer for you, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
And in that category, other questions you can answer between now and next week. Diana in Aledo says, I live in eastern Parker County, and the multitude of signs from developers is ruining, quotes around that, the landscape out here. Now the one nearest us has begun nailing their signs to the power poles, not just plastic or cardboard signs, but backed with plywood and high off the ground. Is there a law in Fort Worth or in Tarrant County or Parker County to prohibit the use of power poles to anyone other than the power company? Is there any kind of law against the signs? Paul in Terrell says, I heard a promo on KERA recently that said American Eagle would soon have nonstop flights from Love Field to Chicago. He says, I thought nonstops, except for adjacent states and a couple of exceptions like Kansas City, were forbidden from Love Field. He says, is the Wright Amendment finally dead? I think I remember sort of a phased change of the Wright Amendment, or phasing out of the Wright Amendment, but someone will write us at anything@kera.org over the weekend and fully answer that question. And Lucinda here in Dallas sent us a question. Why is there not a visible warning sign, she asks, to alert drivers that traffic merges at 183 eastbound and 35 east south into one lane? She asks, have there been any serious accidents on this section of highway, and does anybody know why there's no sign? It is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. It's produced by yours truly. Our engineer is Jeannie Mascoro. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answered the phones. Thank you, Fiona. And our assistant producer is Brandilyn Barnett. Thank you very much, Brandilyn, for your help today. Also, thanks to Eric Bright for joining us in the studio. You can download episodes of the show at kera.org and sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And, of course, please send your questions and answers, comments, suggestions, musings, and thoughts to anything@kera.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for participating, too, and have a great weekend.